Eliezer the servant. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I think of a servant, I think of Jesus' parable about the master and the servant, one that's found in Luke chapter 17. It seems that the servant was up bright and early in the morning. He'd go out and feed the cattle, feed the sheep and the goats, feed the chickens, pick up the eggs, feed whatever other livestock the master had. And then he would go and hitch up the oxen, or perhaps it was a donkey, depending on what the master had. But anyway, then he would go and he would plow, he would harrow, he would cultivate, he'd plant the barley seeds, plant the rye, care for them through the winter. Till spring, it's time for the barley harvest. He would harvest the barley. Later on, the wheat. He'd take care of the vegetable garden. And at the end of the day, he would bed down the cattle, make sure the sheep were in the house, chickens were in their nests. Then he would go into the house to get his supper. But first he had to fix the master's supper. He had to serve it to him. He had to sit and wait while the master ate. Then he could have his own supper. Jesus said, do you think that the master thanked that servant? I think not. And then he laid it right on us. He said, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done which was our duty to do. So the question arises perhaps, then, did Abraham think that his servant was a unprofitable servant? Perhaps not. But Jesus thought Eliezer was an unprofitable servant, as each and every one of us are. Abraham was deeply concerned as to the marriage of his son Isaac, that Isaac must marry is obvious, for otherwise there would be no heir reaching to the promised seed. A suitable bride, therefore, must be obtained for Isaac. And none of the pagan daughters of the land were suitable for such a position of privilege. We think of Genesis chapter 6, where the sons of God found the daughters of men to be fair, and they married them, and they all drowned in the flood. So therefore, Abraham sends his servant back to his own people on a quest for a willing bride that might be found for Isaac. Rebecca is brought into the picture. She displays a character suited to the purpose of God. She elects to follow the servant back to the land and to Isaac, the promised seed, the son of promise, for the purpose of marriage. Figuratively, Isaac becomes a type of Christ, and Rebecca a type of the ecclesia, espoused to one husband. From that viewpoint, the seeking of a bride in Gentile lands foreshadows the preaching of the gospel among the nations, inviting men and women to leave their old way of life and join themselves unto his wife, that they may be made one in Christ. We shall consider both the literal and the figurative application of the narrative in our treatment of this chapter. Now, Abraham was old and well stricken in age. Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant in his house, this probably was Eliezer. Eliezer signifies, El is my help. In the allegory interpretation, we find him as the representative of the apostles who have been the men instrumental in obtaining a bride for the seed of promise from among the Gentiles. This eldest servant that ruled over all of Abraham's house. He goes on, he says, I will make thee swear by Yahweh, the God of heaven and the God of earth. The name Yahweh had not been revealed to Abraham. It was given to Moses, as we know in Exodus 6, verse 3. But the word is compound from the Hebrew word signifying he who will be, or Yahweh. Without comprehending it as the appointed name of God, he calls upon Eliezer to swear by he who will be the coming one. Thus it was most appropriate, as a bride for Isaac was necessary for the ultimate manifestation of the promised seed. That thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Abraham exercised extreme care in the choice of a bride for Isaac. Parents are wise to supervise their children's selection of such relationships and give them sound advice and guidance wherever possible. Verse 4, thou shalt go into the country and to my kindred. Eliezer was directed to a people more amenable to Abraham's way of thought. The wife of Isaac, typical of the bride of Christ, is selected from such a company. In the preaching of the gospel, we must seek out those who are prepared to conform to the principles of Abraham's house. It is of no value presenting that which is holy unto the dogs, nor of casting pearls before swine. Careful discrimination needs to be shown. Take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto the land. Now, this is always a possibility in the preaching of the word. The church demands certain action on the part of believers. They must apply the word as well as endorse it. This demand separates and dedicates. It requires purification of character, the elimination of spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The responsibility of the truth should be plainly taught those interested before they undergo baptism so that they clearly recognize what is expected of them and what acceptance of the truth really means. I must needs bring my son again into the land where thou camest. Now, to take Isaac from out of the land of promise meant relaxing the standards that Abraham had set. Therefore, the question of the servants amounted to, if the woman is not willing to come, shall I relax your standards and take Isaac to her? The answer will be given a little later in our commentary. Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son hither again. Abraham recognized the dangers of relaxing his faithfulness and reminded his servant that his instructions must be followed to the letter. Let the standards of the truth be lowered, and soon there will be no truth remaining. Abraham now exhorts Eliezer to seek divine guidance in the mission before him, recognizing that it's always available through prayer. Eliezer prays, Yahweh, God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Abraham calls upon his personal experience to teach the reality of divine providence. God, who called him from Ur, who guided him to the land and gave him a wonderful promise that awaits his future, would overshadow the important venture, sending his angel before Eliezer to prepare the way for him, the angels of heaven ministering on behalf of the elect of every age, shadowing the circumstances of their lives to further the purpose of Yahweh. So again the question, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Eliezer is again warned against relaxing the standards required merely because the one invited is not willing to separate herself for the purpose of the marriage. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia. unto the city of Nahor. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. He thus selected the most public place for his mission. The feature of the proclamation of the gospel is frequently forgotten by those who set forth its message. Let us remember that lives may be saved by a little extra effort. We should not be backward in giving the greatest publicity to the truth, and like Eliezer, seek out the most prominent way in which to proclaim the message. He came there at the time of evening. Even the time when the women go out to draw water. Note the shrewdness of Eliezer. He carefully plans his campaign, waiting for the appropriate time to engage upon his quest. The women go out to draw water. This suggests an attitude of seeking. Christ used an opportunity at the well of Shechem to draw the Samaritan woman, her attention to the water of life. We must put ourselves in the way of those who are seeking for the things of God. Now Eliezer prayed, and he said, O Yahweh God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. All is ready. He has made his possible preparations himself. Now he seeks the divine blessing in prayer. The prayer is simple, it's direct, dedicated by faith and the requirement of the moment. He was standing without the city by the well as he uttered this prayer. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city came out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel in whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I shall give thy camels drink also. Let the same be that thou hast appointed. Eliezer's prayer describes the type of woman he desires for Isaac. This is firstly suggested in this use of the word damsel. For thy servant Isaac, and therefore shall I know thou hast showed kindness unto my master. As such, Isaac foreshadows Christ, who took upon him the form of a servant. That term is used frequently for Christ. No sooner is the prayer completed than the attention of Abraham's servant is drawn to a young woman approaching. He carefully observes her, for her appearance seems to answer his requirements. It came to pass, before he had done speaking, he had not been speaking to God aloud, but in his heart, It was a silent prayer, but brought an obvious and public response. That behold, his attention is drawn to the young woman approaching the well. Thus, it is a remarkable manner the way of providence unfolds. Rebecca came out. The name means a rope with a noose, suggesting a beauty that would capture men. She was born in Bethel. Strong gives the meaning of this name. Bethuel, a destroyer of God, or to lay waste. Her father was Bethuel. He's passed over as insignificant, as though he were incapable through age or illness. He could not manage his own affairs. Rebecca refers to her mother's house rather than that of her father. And it's her brother Laban who conducts the negotiation with Abraham's servant, though they were later confirmed by Bethuel. Laban evidently was energetic, overbearing, as his later dealings with Jacob indicate. Whereas Bethuel apparently was feeble and retiring. Bethuel, the son of Milcah, described as a queen, perhaps remembering first, perhaps mentioned first before her husband, to indicate that she was the dominant partner of the two. The wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. His name is, apart from Milcah, implies sleepiness or indifference. With a pitcher upon her shoulder. So Rebecca is thus displayed as an industrious woman. In this she types the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. Whose activity and ability is well known. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. She was indicating of strength. Her subsequent actions also showed her to be helpful, to be kind, considerate, and generous. These characteristics revealed that she was a fit subject for the servant's quest. Now Eliezer observes the general demeanor of Rebecca, and seeing in her a likely response to his prayer, the servant eagerly runs toward her to subject her to further test. Rebecca responds in such a way as to indicate the guidance of Yahweh. The servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, draw a little water of thy pitcher. He placed her under test. Her response to his request would determine whether he would claim her for his master. There was a need to test the response of those who would seek Christ. Are they prepared to submit to the full teaching and the responsibilities of the word? And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Most of the young women who went to draw water would have said as much, if was the normal gesture of courtesy. The fact that she hastened to do it indicated a readiness to help, which was somewhat out of the ordinary. It indicated a receptive character, such as must be known of those who come to the truth. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and draw for all his camels. To draw water to supply the demands of 10 thirsty camels would have involved a great amount of tiring labor. Obviously, the servant had imposed a difficult task, so Rebecca responded in a remarkable way. She hasted. She ran again. The test imposed upon the candidate, the eternal life, is no less difficult. And the man wondered at her, but he held his peace. To wit, whether Yahweh had made his journey prosperous or not. Silently, the man stood gazing at her to observe whether or not Yahweh had made his trip successful. He was astonished at her readiness to help. So Rebecca rewarded for her kindness. Yahweh's servant, impressed by the general demeanor and outstanding kindness of Rebecca, rewards her with gifts of jewelry and then requires as to her name. With rising excitement, he learns that she is related to Abraham. She invites him to her home. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, as a room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. So she answered the first question asked of her. With rising excitement, the servant realized that Yahweh had been with him in his quest, as she was his master's relations. She said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. Here is outstanding hospitality to strangers. Moreover, Rebecca still thinks of his camels and would extend her kindness to them as well. The statement, there is room to lodge in, calls to mind the appeal of Christ. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This is the best form of hospitality to show. Rebecca's kindness was indicative of this. The realization that his quest had been outstandingly successful unleashed great joy in the servant, so that immediately, without embarrassment, he bows his head and makes a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, given to God. When a venture has been completed, we should never hesitate to thank God for his part in it. Such action is pleasing to the Father. The man bowed his head and he worshiped Yahweh. And he said, "Blessed ye Yahweh, God of my father Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, Yahweh led me to the house of my master's brethren." So Rebecca's relations are impressed. Full of excitement, Rebecca hastens home, seeks out her mother in order to confide in her. She senses that the visitors have some news of outstanding importance for her. As she passes this on, the whole family is stirred into activity. Laban hastens out and urges Abraham's servant to lodge with them. The damsel ran. She told them of her mother's house those things. Rebecca had a brother, and his name was Laban. Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebecca, his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well." Laban saw the changed appearance of his sister, and sought to discover its cause. He acted as the head of the family, though Bethuel was still living. But Laban had evidently taken over the duties of the household, though the reason is not given. Perhaps Bethuel was infirmed or ill. He said, "Come in, thou blessed of Yahweh. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for thy camels." So Eliezer accepts the hospitality extended to him and then explains his mission. In doing so, he proclaims the gospel and reveals how that providence had guided him to the house. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, and he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And they said, "Speak on." Hospitality is extended to him, but before he is prepared to fully engage upon social intercourse, he demands to outline his errand, his important quest will brook no delay. If we labor for Christ now, we shall reap with him in the future. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. The servant does not put forward himself, but Abraham. In fact, he merges his identity completely in his master. Yahweh has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. He hath given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, and men servants, and maid servants, and camels, and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son of my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, Yahweh, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred out of my father's house. And thou shalt be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and I said, O Yahweh God of my master Abraham, if thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass that when a virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she shall say to me, both drink thee, and I will draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom Yahweh hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with a pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water, and I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And I put the earring upon her face and bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head, and I worshiped Yahweh and blessed Yahweh, God of my master Abraham, which has led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly with me, truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, that I might turn to the right hand or to the left. Laban and Bethuel acknowledge the matter proceedeth from God, and therefore they give their consent. The servant of Abraham recognized this as a result of divine blessing, offering thanksgiving for the success of the mission, at the same time urging a valuable gift of dowry upon the relations of Rebekah. Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing proceedeth from Yahweh. We cannot speak either bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as Yahweh hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped Yahweh, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Now Rebekah's relations were anxious to deliver Eliezer's return to the promised land, but he is just as keen to complete the mission. They did eat and drink, and he had the men and the men that were with him. He tarried the night. In the morning he said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days." So when the time of parting came, their natural feelings got the better of them. They attempted to delay it, realizing that Rebekah would be leaving home for good, and that a far distance would separate them. The application of the separation demanded by the truth is obvious. Eliezer saw the delay as dangerous. It could cause Rebekah to change her mind. When a person's mind has been determined to accept the truth, the matter should be completed as soon as reasonably possible. Let her remain for a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go. A 10-day delay seemed reasonable under the circumstances, but it was opposed by Eliezer, and wisely so. Rebekah had stood up to all the tests imposed upon her, and therefore should delay no longer. And he said unto them, "Hinder me not. Seeking Yahweh has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." Eliezer saw the suggestion as an attempt to hinder the work of separating the bride for the promised seed. Now Rebekah is called upon to decide as to whether she will immediately return. She agrees to do so, receives the blessing of her people, and completes a journey that causes her to tread in the footsteps of Abraham in the pilgrimage of the land and to her husband, the seed of promise. They said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And it's underway, Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of them that hate them." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. The caravan moves down from Haran towards Bathsheba, and comes upon the encampment of Abraham towards evening. Isaac is out in the field meditating. He sees the company approaching. He sees from a distance Rebekah also sees him. As they approach, she alights from the camel and places a veil upon her as a token of submission to her Lord. Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening time. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet me?" And the servant had said, "This is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. There is a mutual affection in this marriage. Isaac makes inquiry of Rebekah through Eliezer and learns of her great faith. He marries her and assumes the position of privilege in the empty tent of Sarah. And the servant told Isaac all the things that had been done. There was an accounting of the duties performed by Yahweh's servant in the coming of the Lord. Isaac brought her unto his mother's Sarah's tent, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isaac was then 40 years old, and his mother had been dead 3 years. The breaking of the covenant by Israel after the flesh brought much sorrow, but there is comfort in the fact that the place was filled by the Israel of God drawn from the Gentiles. We have seen this man, Eliezer, that he was a wise and faithful servant. He took nothing on himself, but he spoke always of his master. And he loved and respected Yahweh, making prayer to him for direction. And when his prayers were accomplished, Eliezer gave thanks to Yahweh that he had blessed him and his master Abraham.